Blog Talk Radio.
Radio live on the air on our new day and time, Monday nights, usually 7 to 8.30, but tonight, 7 to 8 p.m. My name is Randy Zellia. You can contact me at RandyBSB on Twitter and on Facebook at BackSportsPage, I guess Facebook.com/BackSportsPage, and as well as on Twitter at BackSportsPage, RandyBSB. And with me, as always, my compadre, my good friend, and the person who I like to yell at the most, as always, Mike Tremetazzi. Michael, good evening.
That's me. What's going on?
New day and time, new adventures, new format starting next week with our producers Gary Casper and Sarah Gordon. You have yet to meet or talk with Sarah. I think you spoke to her once on the air. But we have a new,
probably,
pretty much a new format starting next week. But we wanted to hop on just because we haven't been on the air since trade deadline almost a month ago. So I think it was appropriate for us to get on the air and sort of spread our wings out again and talk about some of the things that have been going on. A lot of news today. Today was a really, you know, I said to you, I think it was the other day, I'm like, man, it's a really slow, like, couple days in sports. And then it's like all this stuff, and it's like 5 minutes after I say it, it hits you.
Yeah, that's
really
a good thing.
Really,
that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because right now, otherwise, we'd be sitting here talking about...
We'd really be just talking about Tiger Woods and how he's been struggling. But we will talk about Tiger.
Tiger Woods and NASCAR.
Yeah, listen. It's not that slow where we have to start talking about NASCAR. All right, don't you start talking about crazy things. Like, that's almost like having us to talk about Tracy McGrady playing Major League Baseball.
I couldn't tell you a single thing about NASCAR if you, like, gave me a list of people in NASCAR.
I don't understand.
I
watch it, and you're just going, okay, they're driving around in a circle. All right.
I will tell you this, though. I had a friend who moved in from up here down to Virginia, down to around Virginia Beach, about 10 or so years ago, and I went down there. Right around the time of, like, the Brickyard 500. So it was definitely, like, in the summertime, right around July 31st, because it was also the baseball trade deadline. And I remember coming back from Virginia Beach with my friend, and the NASCAR race was on. And I don't watch it, and he really doesn't watch it, but somehow his dad had become, like, him and his parents had become huge NASCAR fans. Like, they listened to it on the radio and stuff, which I think is crazy. And I remember passing out on the couch and waking up, and my friend's dad sitting Indian style with his hands under his chin watching the Brickyard 500 from the floor. And I was just like, is this real life? It was like Charlie at the Dentist. Is this real life? That's my lasting image of NASCAR.
Well,
is a 50-year-old man sitting Indian style on the ground.
Well, I want to throw this at you because I think you'd find it interesting. I was debating on where we should start the show tonight. And I by the way, if you're a NASCAR fan and you're listening to the show, I apologize. We are not we're going after NASCAR, and it's like there's no reason to.
Because I'll embarrass myself.
Yeah, we both will, because we know nothing about it. I want to start with the NBA and what's been going on. I know NFL free agency and the cuts were a really big thing going on today. But I saw this on Twitter, and it's a stat that I
do want to talk.
Well, before we go into Phil Jackson, the Knicks, and all the stuff that's going on with them, I just saw a tweet by Michael Wallace from NBA. He covers the Miami Heat. For those who didn't see the game yesterday, the Miami Heat lost to Chicago, and Chicago's just been on a huge run since trading Lou Alding. And there was a tweet by, like I said, by Mike Wallace, who covers the Miami Heat for ESPN. listen to these numbers. Now, keep in mind these numbers on LeBron James will get any other player in the NBA a hefty contract, but this is considered a slump. Look, LeBron James' stats, he's averaging in this slump 19.3 points a game, 7 assists, 6 boards, and 2.6 steals a game. I want you to think about that stat line.
I wish J.R. Smith was slumping like that.
Well, real quick, you know,
I think the slump would be more of the I think he's shooting like 3-for-28 or something from 3-point land in the last week. So I could see that being slumpish, if you were to say so.
Well, but you think that with Miami losing their last three games, that Indiana would be pulling away. Miami is only a game and a half out, lost 4 in a row. Indiana can't beat the Recreation High School team right now with the way they're playing. Okay, that's over-exaggerating. But if you really look at it, you know, Chicago wins again. Chicago's 35-28. They're certainly proving that they're still a force to be reckoned with in the East. They're playing extremely well. 19-11 at home. I know we keep going over their records and everything, so on and so forth. But Tom Thibodeau might be the best coach in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't think that's a question. I think it's just how much better is he than Popovich.
Right. So, you know, can Chicago catch and move ahead of Toronto? Listen, Brooklyn beats Toronto tonight. Chicago's in a dead tie for third place in the Eastern Conference. So, and that's huge. Now, you and I were talking yesterday about having Brooklyn and Chicago in the first round of the playoffs. That would happen. Do I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to catch Toronto for the division? You have 4 games left with about a month to go. Anything is possible. But I tweeted that earlier this week, and some people responded back. They're saying Toronto is just a better overall team than Brooklyn. Don't know about that.
Well, they've won 2 out of 3. They've won 2 out of 3, and I think the only one the Nets won was that, like, near disaster, right, at the beginning of the year?
Yeah.
Did they have, like, a 10-point lead with, like, a minute left, and I think it came down to, like, a Rudy Gay miss at the buzzer just to win?
Yeah, no, it was something around that. But if you look at, like, we were talking about this yesterday, if you look at the 7th and 8th seed in the Eastern Conference, Charlotte's 6-4 in their last 10 games, and they lost their last game, but they're 29-34. For Charlotte standards, that's amazing. The Atlanta Hawks is 26-35. They lost their last 6, and they still have a 3-game lead on the 9th place Detroit Pistons, with the Knicks and Cleveland both being about 3.5 games out of that final playoff spot. Out of the three teams vying for Atlanta's last spot, so those 4 teams, I believe it or not, can actually picture the Knicks going in and getting the 8th spot. Now, since we're segueing into the Knicks, that's what we do in this business, we call a segue. With segueing into the New York Knicks, obviously the talk has been all weekend about Phil Jackson possibly joining the Knicks front office. What I think this is I listen to New York sports radio like everybody else around this area. They listen to New York sports radio, and they listen to all the talk that's been going on about Steve Mills and James Dolan, who are supposed to be the owners and the management of this franchise, being MIA after the trade deadline, after not being able to make any really big moves, and not, you know, pretty much stepping up to talk about Woodson and his future and Carmelo Anthony, being able to really step up. There's been nothing from them, which has left Carmelo Anthony and Mike Woodson holding the bag. Now, Chris Broussard of ESPN.com just posted around 2:30 today that Phil Jackson likely taking the Knicks job. To quote Chris Broussard, I'll read a little bit of this. All indications are Phil Jackson will accept the New York Knicks offer to join the club's front office, according to a lead source. The Knicks have some sense of what's going to happen here, the source said. And as of right now, it looks like Phil's taking the job. There's always the possibility of something falling apart at the last minute, but the Knicks sense is that he's joining the team. Now, anytime the Knicks sense anything, it's usually the total opposite. You and I have gone back and forth not only about the topic of the Knicks, but New York sports, what happens in New York sports and the mentality of New York sports. Between the Giants, Jets, Yankees, Mets, Knicks, Nets, Devils, Rangers, Islanders, I'm being really, really honest about this.
Only three have won championships in the 21st century.
Well, if you look at, if you look, we'll go that route if you want. But let me just make this point. You and I have talked about what builds a champion and what builds a winning franchise, the mentality of a winning franchise. And I've always felt that, you know, people insult the New York Yankees about spending the amount of money that they do.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they are dedicated to their fans on bringing a World Series championship to the New York Yankee franchise every year. So they're not afraid to go out and spend that money to compete every single year. And anything less than bringing a World Series or competing for a World Series for the Yankees is a disappointing season. And that brought me to think of, look, the mentality of winning is coming from the top of the front office, and that trickles down to the product. And, you know, you can say what you want about Mikhail Prokhorov spending the amount of money he did this year for the Nets, but he did it with the intent of he's dedicating to winning. He wants to win. Now, I'm not saying that Dolan doesn't spend money for the Rangers and the Knicks to win, but it's done in such a disastrous way. You know, look at the whole Isaiah Thomason situation, and with giving us the line of you don't rebuild in New York. Well, not for nothing, when the Seattle Supersonics / Oklahoma City Thunder decided to rebuild, they rebuilt their team and they set up their franchise for a good eight, you know, what is this now? Durant's been in the league, what, for 6 years, 7 years now? 2007 draft is when Kevin Durant came in the league. So for the last 7 years, the Oklahoma City Thunder built around their draft, built around their young players, whereas the Knicks, the Nets, and some of these other teams in New York didn't do that. They bought in other, you know, other players, and they didn't get to build their own guys, guys that connect to the crowd. You know why, when they made that trade for Carmelo Anthony, a lot of Knicks fans were really, really upset? Because that team with Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, Raymond Felton, Amari Stoudemire was an entertaining team to watch. They loved the running up and down and the three-point shooting by Gallinari, and the way that team was playing, you know, they struggled a couple games right before the trade, but it was still, I know people are going to say that wasn't a championship caliber team. That team probably just would have made the playoffs.
It wasn't.
But it was still fun to watch because, you know what? You watched Gallo since he was drafted. You watched Wilson Chandler since he was drafted. It was fun to watch those guys succeed and play in a system that was fun to watch. And when you traded those guys away and you brought in Carmelo Anthony, you were sitting there saying, okay, well, this is, you know, we're putting all of our eggs in one basket. And now I'm going to say it like it is, and you as a Knicks fan, and Jose is a Knicks fan, and, you know, Gary, who's a Knicks fan too, all these guys work on the show. And I'm going to say something which nobody wants to hear. Last year was like a mirage walking through the desert. Okay?
Listen, I can't argue because I guess if it is, but I don't know. Listen, I think some people, because the Knicks have been bad for so long, they looked at the team with Gallinari and Chandler and Felton and Stoudemire and said, this is good basketball. This is a great team. No, it wasn't. It was a 40-43 win team at its peak. It was never going to get out of the first round of the playoffs. You needed to make that deal. Unfortunately, people don't want to hear it now because it's revisionist history. But if you look at the stats, Mozgov's been okay. But you didn't – Gallinari, A, hasn't been healthy. He's never been healthy his entire career, basically. He's never played a full season. And you haven't really – you can find a guy that can shoot around 30% from the field and play marginally okay to – bad defense like Gallinari did. Chandler, again, is a little bit of a problem because you like to have that 6'7", 6'8 guy that can guard multiple positions and shoot an open three and get in transition. That's a commodity. That's something you want. So, but then again, you got Carmelo Anthony. I'll always go back to what Jeff Van Gundy said when they made the deal and he came on SportsCenter that night. He said the Knicks gave up replaceable parts for an irreplaceable talent. You're not going to replace a Carmelo Anthony, but you can replace a Gallinari that gets you 11 points per game and shoots under 40% from three. You can get a Chandler that is 6'8", that can guard multiple positions on the wing. You know, they gave up replaceable parts for an irreplaceable player. And that's the way I always looked at it. He was always the better player in the trade, and he was always the better player on the court when they got the trade done.
Well, here's the crazy part. You ready? Here's the crazy part. You bought in on the 2010 big free agent signing. You bought in Amari Stoudemire. People are going to say what you want about Amari Stoudemire on how, you know, they knew that he was on borrowed time with his knees and he was struggling, and you know, there's been one fluke injury after another. Well, you know, you can say what you want. You can say, but since they put him in the starting lineup this season with J.R. Smith, Carmelo Anthony, Tyson Chandler, and Raymond Felton, he's actually played better.
Oh, no, he has. I'm not saying that, but we all also have to remember that he did come here because the Knicks were the only team willing to give him five guaranteed years.
Of course. Of course.
That doesn't take anything away from him as a player. But I still think, like you said, you can't latch you can't latch everything to Stoudemire, knowing that he's one bad knee away from being what he's been the last couple of years. So you had to make that deal for another guy that can be the bellwether guy for your team.
I can't disagree. I can't agree with you more. Here's what it comes down to. The New York Knicks are making this move for Phil Jackson because they feel that it will help bring attention away from the blame going on to Jim Dolan and for Steve Mills on the disaster which was this season. And if for some reason Carmelo Anthony decides to walk away from this franchise at the end of the year, blame
will
not
go on him.
That's
not the worst thing in the world.
No, you know what? I think majority of the Knicks fans will feel that it's not the worst thing in the world for Carmelo Anthony to walk away. And I don't think it is either. Here's the one thing I put on Carmelo Anthony's shoulders, and I know you're going to disagree with me on this, but that's fine. I've been wrong before, and I'm okay with being wrong. But I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it like it is. If Carmelo Anthony, knowing that the Knicks are not going to be able to do much as far as the free agent market during the 2014 offseason, if he goes in knowing this, and he decides he's going to stay in the New York Knicks, if he opts out and re-signs for more money, then that's the exact reason why he's staying with New York, is for more money. Because there is two better options out there for him to go to a team to win a championship. If winning a championship is as important to him as he says it is, there are two better options for him to go to and be successful. And I guarantee you want me to tell you where those two options are.
Well, I know the Bulls. What are you going with? The Clippers as the other one?
Yes. The Chicago Bulls and the Los Angeles Clippers. And there might be a third one, believe it or not. But I don't think it's the Lakers. No, it would not be the Lakers. It would be one of the Texas teams.
I don't think he'll go to like a Dallas.
No, I wasn't even thinking Dallas. I was thinking Houston.
Houston wants. There's not enough basketballs in the world if he came to Houston.
Yeah, but if you think about it, watching him, Dwight Howard, and James Harden together, that'd be fun. I think it'd just be more fun to watch them try to figure it out. I think it'd be more fun to try and watch them figure that one out. But with that being said,
I think Kevin McHale would have a stroke trying to figure that out.
Well, with that being said, the first two choices, the Chicago Bulls obviously would make a lot of sense. I would hate to see them waive Boozer, you know, use the amnesty clause on Boozer for that situation. Because just imagine if they had Noah Boozer, Carmelo Anthony, Derrick Rose. That'd be a lot of fun.
Well, I think Sam Smith even said over the weekend that it's not even – they would have to almost – trade Amnesty Boozer, and they would have to trade Noah and – or not Noah. They would have to trade Gibson and the first round picks, because to have any sort of chance at signing him to the max, they would outside of there being a sign and trade with the Knicks, they would have to gut pretty much that entire team.
I want to pull up
now,
their
salary
cap.
Does that mean that they wouldn't deal him, do a sign and trade with the Knicks? I mean, I guess it's possible. I mean, obviously the Knicks would listen if it's a, hey, we're not going to get anything and he only wants to go to the Bulls. I'm sure the Knicks would say, well, then what can we do here? Let's work something out.
Okay, Chicago Bulls salary. Let's take a look here. Now, it would be really interesting to see.
I think you've got to remember, bringing Carmelo over will either have them trade Mirotić or he won't be coming over this year, and that's something they really want to do.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, they just bought in Verdet, which is not a long-term contract. Listen, if they dumped Carlos Boozer, and keep in mind, they have money. The Bulls have money right now. So, they're losing some money off the cap this year. So, I'll tell you from their current roster, who are notable names, who are off the books, okay? You're losing, obviously they don't have Bynum's salary after this year. They're losing Kirk Heinrich, who's been a very key component to their team. Nazi Muhammad, they're still paying Richard Hamilton this season, but that doesn't matter. So they're losing about 10, maybe $11 million off of their payroll for this year. Now, next year Derrick Rose is making $18.8 million. Boozer's on the books for $16.8 million, but you can amnesty him and lose that. Noah's making $13.1 million, and Taj Gibson's making $8 million, and Dunleavy is making $3 million in the final year of his deal. Jimmy Butler's making $2 million. So they're going to have room here.
You have to remember it's starting at 20, so they have to get not only 20 under, but then you have to remember cap holds and dead money and those draft picks. I think the only way they can realistically do it and field a competitive team that's not just three guys and mid-level guys is by doing a sign and trade. I really think that's the only way they can get them.
And I do think Kenyon Martin would actually come over to Chicago with him because he loves playing with Melo. Now, with the Clippers, on the other hand, wow. You have DeAndre Jordan making 11 next year. In the final year of his deal, Blake's making 17 and Chris Paul's making 20. I feel, honestly, I don't know how you feel about this.
If you're the Bulls, let me throw this out there. If you're the Bulls, do you trade something along the lines of either Mirotić, one of the draft picks, and Snell for Carmelo?
Or do you trade them both? I'll be honest with you. This might be one of those cases where the Knicks end up with nothing.
I think it very well could be, but nothing is still also cap space too.
Right. Like I'm saying, nothing though. Like I'm meaning that the Bulls may work this thing, and they may not have to give anything to the Knicks. You're talking.
But
I know you're
gotta wonder,
as a Knicks fan. As a Knicks fan, you want to see the Knicks get something.
I'm saying, as a Bulls fan. What can is Foreman going to sit there and say, okay, I have to pretty much gut this entire team to get him to an average max salary of 20, unless you're going to tell me he's going to come less than
right.
even the and max
think,
he can get from
I
the Bulls.
I think that if winning is as important to Carmelo Anthony as he says, then I would think that he
never
would take...
We've never had a player not take the max of anything he's offered. Even Dwight Howard took the max.
LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh all took less to play together.
They didn't take much less.
I'll tell you right now.
And they were signing trades, though. Bosh and James were signing trades.
Okay, those three guys are making 19, 19, and 18 this year. The first years of their contracts, they were all making 14. With the amnesty, they amnestied Mike Miller. So there's $6 million. So if you go down, everyone's taking pay cuts to play with the Miami Heat, as they should. They should all take pay cuts.
I just don't see any way Bulls do it and field an actual team, because they got to have money to sign their two draft picks. They got to have money to sign cap holds, because if you lose all that money with Carmelo, where are you getting your other roster holds? You have those ghost figures against the cap, remember? So I just don't see how they do it and field a team that's not top heavy. And that's not how they're built. They're not built as top heavy. They're built as depth. So like I said, the only way I can see the Bulls doing it and getting it done is if they do a sign and trade, because you may lose, like, say Gibson, Marochik, and the two draft picks, or the two draft picks and Snell and Gibson, some combination that you have to then look at and say, this is how you have to get it. Because I just don't know how they are going to work it and have a team that's competitive. Now, you're going to be very top-heavy with Rose, Noah, and Carmelo if you just sign him outright, but you have to cut a lot of places just to get under the amount of money to even pay him in the first year. So I think the only way they can do it is doing a sign and trade. And I think the Knicks would be amenable to that. I think the Knicks, honestly, if Phil Jackson comes in, I think they'd be amenable to him just leaving. So I don't think the Knicks have to get something for him. But if Carmelo's going to play this the wrong way and say, well, I only want to go to Chicago, well, unless you're going to be stuck in the same boat you were by going to the Knicks, you have to do a sign and trade. Because otherwise the Bulls are going to have to gut 90% of their roster just to fit you under the cap.
Right. I just don't see them at the end of the day sitting there. I don't see Carmelo Anthony sitting there saying, guys, I'm going to go. Guys, I'm leaving. So if you guys want to go get something for me, now is the time to go do it. He's going to have a choice. He either opts in for the final year of his contract and wait till 2015 to see what's what, which I believe at the end of the day would probably be the smart move to do. Because 2015.
Yeah, but I don't think he operates in the smart realm. He didn't operate smart with the trade to the Knicks, because as things worked out with the lockout, I think he only lost like two or three million per year. He would have lost if he had stayed through the lockout. Like, I think it was Windhorst who had the number, and it was like a ridiculously small number when you think about it.
Well, here's the other part of it, too, and this is the part that I think you'll find very interesting. The more we're going on here, the more time that we're going, I'm wondering whether we're really going to have LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade opt out. I don't know if that's going to happen.
That's an interesting point.
I just maybe those guys all, like, I think more, it was more of the lines of what we were discussing yesterday. That, by the way, for tonight's Raptors-Nets game that we were talking about, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett will play versus Raptors. Kirilenko is out. Nets usually play better when Kirilenko is in the lineup. With that being said before, though, you know, Anthony LeBron James. You know, Anthony, if Bosh and Wade step away from Miami, and I know you're pretty much hell-bent thinking that LeBron's going to stay in Miami, which you have every right to feel.
I just don't see any way he doesn't, because he can recruit people to Miami. It's very easy to – he couldn't recruit people to Cleveland for 8 years. What's going to make you think he can also recruit people to Cleveland now?
Right. And so here's the deal. If Wade retires, because there's a lot of talk of that happening, because his knees are just not there. Do you think that they're resting him for the playoffs? He just can't keep going at that pace anymore, because he's had so much damage in his knees. If Wade retires and Bosh hightails it to Dallas, which all reports are saying he might do, the Miami Heat will have money. Oh, Anthony might end up out in Miami.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you're going to have Miami having to do some serious retooling. They haven't had a lot of draft picks of late because of a lot of the sign and trades and the fact that they've traded picks. You're right. A lot of people forget how much older Wade is than everybody else, because everybody else came out in college or after their freshman year, if you're Carmelo and Bosch. Wade was there for 3 years at Marquette. So Wade's going on 33 years old right now, and everyone else is just hitting 30.
Yeah, so this is,
you forget, people forget that. People just assume Wade came in at the same time, so they're all the same age. No. Wade's two going on 3 years older than them.
Right. So if Wade steps down, you have a lot of cap space, and then you can actually go out and get Carmelo Anthony. But I also think if you're going to restructure the Heat and bring Carmelo Anthony to play with LeBron James, that last slot of money needs to go to a point guard. And you know who that might end up being? If Anthony decides to opt in for another year and come out in 2015 and LeBron decides to stay in Miami, you know who that point guard can be?
I know you want to tell me.
Kyrie Irving. And that can be real. That could be real interesting.
I don't know. I've always picked Kyrie as a guy that would go back to New York. Just if I had to think about it, that's just the way I would look at Jersey Kid. You know, if you have a chance to go back, it would be kind of like if Marbury had the chance to sign with the Knicks. He probably would have done it. I think Kyrie is that same type of way. Plus, if you know anything about Phil Jackson, you know he wants good point guard play. That's a staple of the triangles. You need heady point guard, good point guard play. It doesn't have to be a star. Derek Fisher wasn't a star. Ron Harper wasn't a star. Kerr's not a star. But you need solid point guards. Obviously, a Kyrie Irving is what you would need of that ilk. You know, you want a good point guard. That's why I would think if Carmelo leaves, I think the Knicks would throw all their basket into Kyrie's and say, look, got a draft pick. You've got Hardaway that can play alongside you. You know, you've got the cap room to bring in another guy if you so choose. You can make it all about Kyrie. And like I said, being a Jersey guy, maybe it's just me thinking, but, you know, you can throw the Nets in, too. If the Nets had cap space, you're a net guy. You know, if you were in their shoes, wouldn't that appeal to you in a way? You know, some people don't like the pressure of playing at home, but it also has that appeal to it. I always remember Anthony Mason saying, the coolest part about being at home was that you could see your family every day. And a lot of NBA people don't realize that about the NBA, how long of a season it is, how many times you're on the road, how long the travel is, and you forget those things. So even the simplest thing like that would be something that can appeal to a player.
I agree. Now here's where we go. This is the final thing on this topic of Phil Jackson and the Knicks. A, does it happen, and B, is it a disaster, or is it going to work out?
What was that?
Phil Jackson to the Knicks. Is it going to happen, and B, will it work out?
Yes, and look, I've been of the mind since this came out that if he was strongly considering it, he has to have some assurance from Dolan that he's got final say in basketball ops. So if he's got Dolan's word on that, I mean, everybody who says it's going to stink is basically just calling Dolan like a snake who like shakes his hand with his fingers crossed behind his back with the other hand. So that's basically what everybody assumes Dolan is. I would like to think Dolan would give him his word and give him the ability to run the basketball team. I mean, he's given Glenn Sather 15 years to do whatever he wants with the Rangers. So I would like to think that it would work just because it's basketball. And Phil Jackson's never had any sort of experience as a GM or an executive. It's basketball, guys. I mean, the guy's won 11 championships. He has to know something about putting a round basketball in an oval hoop. It's got to be the same thing. Instead of getting those guys to do it, he's got to find the guys to do it. I would like to think he's got a good eye for talent. So I definitely think it can work, and I don't see why it can't work. If he's got total say in basketball operations, and I don't think he'd be seriously contemplating it if he didn't have that assurance, then yeah, I don't see why it can't work.
Okay, I'm going to fight you on two things here. I think he might take this job. The more and more I'm hearing, I can't see Chris Broussard and Stephen A. Smith keep saying that he's not going to take the job when he's this close from taking it. I just can't see that happening at this point. If this is going to work, this can't be a "I'm going to be in Montana, you let me know when you need me" type of situation. You when you commit to this type of job, you commit all the way. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. I don't know if he's as good as putting talented team together as we're making him out to be, for the simple reasoning of when Michael Jordan came back to the NBA from this 2 years for playing baseball, that Bulls team was not a championship caliber team. And Phil was working with Jerry Reinsdorf and Jerry Krause on putting that team together. I know we're being very specific here. We're going back, you know, close to 15 years, 16 years on this, 18 years.
Yeah, Scottie Pippen almost got that team to be a championship team by himself.
Right. Well, he did that the first year without Jordan, when you still had that championship pedigree of Horace Grant. You know, the only difference was...
Well, in 95, Orlando was the better team in 95. They were the best team
in
the East.
But the Bulls didn't have a Horace Grant. They didn't have those guys. They didn't have that same type of crew that was dignified as what the Chicago Bulls were all about. Now, it was a guard-oriented team. When you take Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, who arguably were the best two players in the NBA at that time, like I said, arguably, because you can start making cases for Malone, Ewing, Shaq, all these different guys at that point in time, you can start making arguments for, but Pippen and Jordan were the most established and also 1-2 punch. They needed another guy like a Horace Grant, who was playing in Orlando at the time. They needed a guy like him, and they got Rodman. Now, I will tell you that there was a source open at that point that they almost were trying, that Phil Jackson had made the comment, "I want either Dennis Rodman or Derek Coleman." Now, can you imagine if that would have been Derek Coleman on that team? He would have been motivated to play like those early Nets years, averaging like 36-19. Obviously, he wouldn't be scoring 36 points a game, but can you picture Derek Coleman on that? That would have been crazy. With that being said, Phil recognized he needed to have three stars. He did it with the Lakers for the triangle. But the thing is here, the difference is Phil's not coaching. I don't know. The point of what I'm saying here is I don't know if Phil Jackson can be an architect to put a team together around Carmelo Anthony. I'm not sure if he's that guy.
I don't think he's really a big fan of Carmelo Anthony, his game. So I think that maybe he's of the mind that if he does take the job, maybe he's told Dolan, "Listen, I don't want him on this team."
Well, I'm saying this though. I'm saying, what are you trying to sell Carmelo Anthony on right now? Because his window for winning a championship is closing. So my thing is, you say to him, "I want you to be here. I want you to stay with this team. I want you to lead this team to a championship. But we're asking you to wait another year." That doesn't,
that
doesn't work for me, though. That doesn't work. Because you don't know, look, LeBron James, and you and I, this is another part of the conversation you and I had over the weekend. I wish people could listen into our phone calls. I'm going to start recording our phone calls.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't think so. I don't think it's a good idea either. LeBron James won a championship. Oklahoma State
Thunder.
The minute people
start listening to our phone calls, bad things will happen.
Oh, of course. I agree with you. The Oklahoma City Thunder were a young team in the NBA Finals against the Miami Heat and made mistakes, which other players were on the Miami Heat were not just LeBron James, but other players in the Miami Heat were able to capitalize on. Last year, like you pointed out to me, four missed free throws and a Ray Allen three-point shot saved Miami Heat from LeBron James having another meltdown in the final 2 minutes of a game before the Heat won that series in seven. The point of what I'm saying here is LeBron James had to make a very, very tough decision. He could have been a good guy if he stayed with Cleveland and done the right thing and probably never won a championship. Or he had to piss some people off and hurt a lot of people's feelings and become a villain for a year and learn how to lose in the finals to get his two championships and this year being possibly a third championship. So Carmelo Anthony, everybody would like to see him go to New York, but at the end of the day, it's a business. And I also think Carmelo understands of how much money do you really need in your pocket. If he's serious about winning a championship, I'm sorry, it's not going to be in New York, and it's not going to be next year or the year after. And if he thinks it's going to be in New York, he's going to have to be patient while they get parts around him that may never happen. So if he's really serious about winning a championship, he might have to go to Chicago. He might have to go to the Clippers, or he might have to go to a team like OKC that might be able to move some parts around to get him there to play with Durant. I just don't think at the end of the day Carmelo Anthony will lead the New York Knicks to an NBA championship. And it's a harsh reality for Knicks fans that this team has been a disarray since Dolan has taken the reins of MSG, the Isaiah Thomas years, and everything. But, you know, if you look, the scary part about this whole entire thing is that the Knicks have been so bad, the better play of the Nets has been so overshadowed. We're forgetting that keep in mind, the Nets had such a high expectation level that I don't think it was ever fair for them to really be put in as one of the best teams at the East, even with Brook Lopez healthy. But the Knicks have been so bad, it's overshadowed the positives that the Nets have had. No one's talking about the Nets. I think at the end of the day, if it came down to the Nets staying in the sixth seed and playing against the three seed, I still think the Nets can possibly win a seven-game series and go to the second round.
Yeah, but isn't it funny how that happens? The Nets are in the playoffs and playing real well, and they nobody cares.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And the part that bothers me the most about it, and this is the part that really does bother me about it, it's not the fact that nobody cares. It's the fact is everything with the Nets was done so ass backwards. You're bringing in two older stars. And here's the even crazier part. When Jeff Van Gundy was the head coach of the Knicks in that last season, the 2001-2002 season, he openly admitted that he quit. Since that season, the Nets have won double the amount of games and playoff series than the Knicks have, which, you know, that's a scary stat. Listen, dude, we're 15 minutes left in the show. I know we've really been hammering down this Phil Jackson topic and the LeBron James topic, going back and forth. The Lou Musto from Cover32.com just broke the news that Chris Snee restructured his contract with the New York Giants. So I think that's big news. Let's jump into some of this NFL news that's been going on. It's Santonio Holmes no longer a member of the New York Jets. I hate to say it. The Jets, you listen to this argument with Michael Kay and Don LaGreca today, who are on 98.7 ESPN Radio here in New York, for those who are listening to us out of state. By the way, Kevin Garnett is officially out. He's a scratch from the lineup. I remember before I just said that he was going to play.
Is he going to play the rest of the year? Or
No, he's sore back, which means they're probably just resting him. They have to put something on the injury report when he's not going to play. So with that being said, though, people were sitting there saying, I know we're making this more of a New York show today, I'm not going to apologize for it, but that's just where we are, that's where we're getting a lot of the news from. But, you know, people are sitting there saying, though, if you'd rather be the Jets or the Giants to see, you know, for salary cap and to make moves in the offseason, the Giants don't need as much help as the Jets do. Look, the Giants have a quarterback. They have a very good two or three wide receivers. We have to, you know, see what their second string receivers can do. Will Bowden break out and do more? You know, what's going to happen? What are we going to be doing? What else can we do with the New York Giants as far as receivers are concerned? I love Reuben Randall. I love Victor Cruz. I don't think they're going to miss Nix too much. You know Nix is going to walk away. I heard talk that Nix might either going to go to the Panthers or he's going to end up with the Cowboys, one of the two teams. If he ends up with the Cowboys,
what a
long-term
deal.
Yeah, well, he's going to go wherever he can get a long-term deal. He certainly did not earn one last year with the Giants. With that being said, the Giants need to worry about their offensive line. The Giants need to worry about the running back position, and the Giants need to make sure that defensive line is ready to go. The fact that they were not able to take care of Beeson before free agency is opening up is a huge issue. But they're close to making some other deals. Some of the notable free agents that are going to be out there, you know, besides Beeson, Michael Vick. Do I really, really think that Michael Vick is going to end up in the New York Jets uniform? I highly doubt it. Knowing me and that happening, you know, I say it now, that's going to end up happening. It'll just watch. I guarantee it will happen. But the Jets need a lot of help. And they let go of Santonio Holmes today, which, you know, unless he, you know, if he never ended up being the weapon the Jets needed him to be. I don't know if you agree with me on that or not, but that's generally how I feel. I never felt that he was really the answer the Jets needed. Now, I'm trying to figure out why there hasn't been any news on Mark Sanchez. Did his contract, you can tell me this. I didn't look anything up on this. Is Mark Sanchez officially under contract for this year?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a certain date they have
to
wait for?
Yeah, he's not a free agent yet.
Okay. At what point can the Jets waive him?
You can designate him a post June 1st cut, and either do it before June 1st or after June 1st.
Okay. Again, I wasn't 100% sure. You're a better expert on this part of it than I am. So now here's some questions I have for you about the Jets. What is your top priority? Is the quarterback the priority? Is the wide receiver spot priority? Is the running back position priority?
I think it's just you have to get talent around the quarterback. If you think
so
the
quarterback
is...
Who is your
quarterback? I'm saying if you think Geno's the... Well, then you have two questions. If Geno's your quarterback, then you need to put players around him. If you don't think Geno's your quarterback, then you need to find a quarterback first.
Like, I'll be honest with you. I think the quarterback position last year cost the Jets at least 3 games. I'm being honest with you on that. I think Geno Smith's key and not playing well cost them 3 games last year. Those 3 games make you 11-5.
Yeah. I think you need to think of it as yeah, he cost you games, and if you had a bridge quarterback, as Bill Polian called it, the new position in the NFL is the bridge quarterback. It's a vet that's bridging the gap to the young guy. They didn't really have that, and they kind of threw Geno to the wolves. So, yeah, he didn't really get good until the end of the year, and the last couple of games he played really well, specifically the last two. So you have to really wonder if he's going to take that next step, or if he's a guy that you may have trouble with. So you have to look at that really hard if you're the Jets by 4 o'clock today, tomorrow, because if you think he's your guy, then you can go along with getting getting a couple wide receivers, a tight end maybe, a running back maybe. If you don't think Bilal Powell is the answer with Chris Ivory, if he is not your answer, if Geno's not your quarterback, then you have to find a quarterback quickly.
Yeah, well, where? And where and who? Is Michael Vick going to come in here and say, okay, well, Mark Sanchez, we're not sure if this is going to be, you know, his team. If, you know, if you give him another shot, if Geno Smith, you're going to give him another shot. If you're going to give Geno Smith the reins. You know, I know there was a lot of teams that contacted the Houston Texans about trying to make a deal for that number one pick. Do the Jets try and throw their hat in there and try and do the same thing? Now, here's the question, though. And I'm going to throw this not Jets-Giants related. It would affect the Giants. If you're the Cowboys, there was talk about possibly sending Romo over to Houston for the number one pick. Would you make that deal, knowing that Houston was possibly a quarterback away?
No. No, because I think Tony Romo, as bad as people kill him, Tony Romo is better than any quarterback that is available in the draft. I think that's blatant. To me, that's blatant. You know, I think Tony Romo gets a little he gets killed too often. I think they're lucky that they have a quarterback of Tony Romo's skill set. It's not Tony Romo's fault the defense played in epically bad fashion last year. And what's funny is Romo wasn't even healthy the last game of the year, and they still blew it at the end of the game.
Right. So we only have a few minutes left. We have about 9 minutes left. I want to do a couple of true and falses with you, and also we have some announcements to make about our show and as well as some stuff that's going on with Back Sports Page and a big announcement about our new partnership. So let me do this from true and false. True and false, 76ers make 20 wins this year.
False.
Okay, I agree with you. I think they're under 20 wins. True or false, Allen Houston will officially become the GM of the New York Knicks.
False, because Steve Mills is the GM right now, and I haven't read anything that would imply that he's going to be fired.
Okay, true or false, I can see them trying to make moves after Steve Mills brokers this deal with Phil Jackson that Allen Houston takes over. True or false, the Indiana Pacers acquired way too much talent during the season for the chemistry to work in the playoffs.
True, because I think the guys they've brought in don't buy into what they do well. And there's a problem that comes when you try to supplement what you do well by bringing in people that don't do that well. Scola, Evan Turner, these are guys that don't do what the Pacers do well. Scola's an awful defensive player, and he's an okay, you know, offensive player at this point in time of his career. But he's not a guy that really you can survive with playing backup minutes at the four. Evan Turner, not a great offensive player, okay defensively, but he's another guy. Can you really supplant the backup minutes at the shooting guard or point to a guy that you're not positive can run the team? You don't want to take minutes away from Stevenson by making Evan Turner play. I think they did it for every good they did getting rid of Granger to clear up those minutes. I don't like the move for Evan Turner. I like that they took a chance, but I didn't see it as a thing that worked. So, yeah, I think that's a good point. I would say true to that. I think the players they brought in didn't fit their style.
Okay, and now with our 5 minutes left, I think it's time for us to pump everybody up with what's going on with Real Sports Talk Radio. Next week, you and I will be discussing during the week our new formats and what we're going to be doing here on Real Sports Talk Radio. Proud to announce that Gary Casper is officially on as a producer and is going to be joining the show periodically through each show as we work on some different topics and some different fun things for Real Sports Talk Radio. Excited about everything on what's happening. And I think it should be fun. The other part of the announcement is that Backsports Page is joining up with I-95 Sports Radio on the internet, all down I-95 on the East Coast. They currently have shows in North Carolina, Atlanta, South Carolina, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, and now we're part of that family, which I think is pretty exciting. Mike, I think you're pretty excited about that too. More people get to hear your voice, and
can't go wrong with that.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm very proud. Bobby Gutierrez is really being a good sport and helping us out, building us a whole new system as we speak. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be putting that all in the place, and I'm very, very excited about that. And we're all teaming up together, and the most important thing is the product that we're doing. So you're going to be hearing us be promoting a lot of other different radio shows, a lot of different businesses, and sponsors into our segments. And we talk about segments here on Real Sports Talk Radio. Our new goal is to have a guest every single week. This week it didn't happen. We were a little short with time with putting everything together tonight. We weren't really 100% sure as of yesterday we were going to go on today. Next week's guest is already set up. We have former WWE WCW superstar and owner of DDP Yoga, Diamond Dallas Page, going to be joining us around 7:30 next Monday night. So you're going to be seeing things on all our social media about Dallas being live with us. And the way Mike and I are going to be doing interviews, and this is a part that Mike and I haven't even talked about yet, but what we want to do is we want to let you guys hear these guys talk about their lives in a different light, meaning if you've heard our interviews before, like with Bear Pascal and so just other people who've been on with us, Tim Capshaw, we have fun with the guests. We talk about them. We talk about their careers, fun things like being out on the road and in the arenas. We want you guys to be inside what they're doing and what they see. So it's not like what you hear on Sports Talk Radio. It's a different perspective on what we bring to the table. So, Mike, this is going to be a fun, different experience. Next week, Diamond Dallas Page, who is a hell of an interview to have on. We might have to extend our show. And then the following week, on the 24th, Tampa Bay Buccaneer running back Brian Leonard on the show with us. So we have our next two guests already set up. I'm trying to get the third. I'm aiming for an NBA guest for the 31st. So it's going to be a fun ride, my friend. And Gary Casper will be joining us next week. Also our possible second producer, Sarah Gordon, as well. So, Mike, I give this final minute for you to, sound off with what you would like to sound off about, and then I'll sound off with what I want to talk about. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if you saw the crazy Senator Garofalo tweet, the guy from Minnesota, about how no one would care if the NBA would fold and no one would know it would the difference except for the rise in crime. I think it was pretty funny how everybody killed him, rightfully so, because even if you were trying to make some point off facts, it's not even facts, because everybody knows that the NFL has a higher rate of arrests than NBA players do. But I think it's just the aspect of the NBA still has this quote-unquote thug mentality that everybody said it had in the early 2000s. And then, of course, everybody came to his defense from the Republican side saying, hey, he's just speaking out on social issues that all athletes look at. It's BS. It's bogus. I think at some point we're going to have to get to this point with social media where dumb people don't get to say dumb things and get away with it, especially people that are in positions of the public life, specifically politicians who I always thought growing up politicians were smarter than me. They're really not. They just have more money than I do. That's basically what it comes down to. So I don't know if you saw it, but I guess he did one of those, half-ass apologies where he's like, well, if to the people who were offended, I apologize. That's, again, bogus, but hey, all the more power to you. If you want to say those things and you've got a backing like the GOP that can defend you, I guess go right ahead, but it's silly, and I don't understand why anybody even makes that argument. Like, what conversation was he having where he's like, I got to put this on social media. I got to tweet this. This is great. It's dumb, and at some point in this, we're going to have to figure this out and not allow these brainiacs to continue making such dumb statements.
Well, for Mike Tremetazzi, I don't get a sound off this week. So we're going to see you guys next week, Real Sports Talk Radio, live every Monday from 7 to 8:30 on the Back Sports Page Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. See you next week.